When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Today would be a great day to share the show because we've got free veterinary advice. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website and bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And, boy, I got to tell you, it is a fogged-in, drizzly, rainy morning here in the great Pacific Northwest. And on top of all that, as usual, would be our weather guy and Animal World production engineer, Mike Roberge, is here. Good morning, Mike.
Morning.
So it was just cloudy at my house when I left, but about halfway down here, man, it started to rain.
Had the drizzle going on this morning.
Yeah, drizzle, drizzle, drizzle. Not to mention with coming south on 405 to get here, they've got starting to get the new signs up for the tolling HOV lanes, which I'm not real excited about, but it was quite it's confusing to have those signs and new stuff, and they don't really make sense. And
kind of regressive, too.
Yeah, so anyway, it was nice to hear your voice doing the weather report, and I realized that my timing was excellent this week because I spent yesterday afternoon mowing and blowing and cleaning up and all of that in prep for the rains coming in, so I did it just in the nick of time.
The seasons, they are a-changing.
Isn't that?
We had
sure.
just an absolutely gorgeous day yesterday.
It was beautiful.
We had over, I think, either 51 or 52 days of 80 degrees or more this year. The average is like 24. So it really, in terms of weather and lack of precipitation, we had a great summer for us city dwellers. Unfortunately, it wasn't so hot for everybody else out in the outlying areas because the drought conditions were much more severe than anybody predicted, particularly with rivers and streams.
Yeah,
lots of fish kills.
I was real fortunate in the area that I'm at in that we had a couple of storms come in during the hot weather that dumped a couple of inches of rain here or there throughout the summer. So we didn't drought out in my just particular local area as much as some of the areas around us. Like I was noticing driving the last couple of days that cedar trees like 5 miles away from me are flagging like crazy in the area, which means they're dropping, some of their branches turn kind of, red, and they drop it, and that would indicate that they have had a real stress and not enough water. But the cedars in my neighborhood are not flagging yet. So,
well, the real acid test is dig down a little bit in the soil and see how moist or not moist it is, because that's a true test. And then what they do is they take core samples to where they can look at the inside of the tree. And my guess is a lot of the older growth is really suffering this year.
Yeah.
But I was looking at some 90-day weather map models. And it looks like, although our temperatures will be warmer between now and the end of the year, warmer above average, it looks like we should be able to anticipate the same amount of rainfall.
Okay. I had heard that we were looking at a wetter winter than usual. Yeah, now, is that what you're
saying? It says average. They don't pin down on the long-term models. They just say, is it above, below, or average? And right now they're saying average to above. But because it's going to be warmer, we're probably going to have another year of reduced or little snowpack in the mountains. And that's really the big deal. That's what we really need.
Well, so I wonder, so it sounds we might get a normal amount of rain.
Yes.
But because it'll be warmer, the snow level will be higher.
Correct.
So we won't get the snowpack. So that probably means we're still going to be dicey.
Yeah. Well, we could have another year, another fire season like we had this year and last year, next year. I mean, it's probably almost a foregone conclusion. Hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, so let's hope for cooler temperatures and a lower snow level.
And we need to find a way to manage this rainfall because the snowpack has many advantages, one of which is its time release. If we get these huge storms, which are great in the short term, they don't do anything for us in the long term because we don't know how to capture as much of it as we need.
The water just runs off. We don't have big reservoirs up on the mountain.
We do, but we just need to do a better job of it.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Okay. Well, and I normally at this point would introduce Kathy, our call screener, in the other room, but Kathy's not here today. So she is off celebrating a 40th wedding anniversary. So happy anniversary, Kathy, and hope you're having a great time. And that means that Mike will be doing extra duty today here and grabbing the phones as well as keeping us on the air. So if you call into the show today, just know that if Mike can't get to the other studio immediately, he'll just put the line on hold. And you'll know your call's been picked up because you'll hear the radio show playing in your ear. And just hold on until Mike gets a chance to get you screened, and we'll get you on the air as soon as possible because it's Vet Sunday today, and Dr. Doug Yearout is back in the house. Good morning, Dr. Doug.
Good morning, Martha. How are you?
I'm good. How about you? And how are you faring in the summer hot weather and now it's getting cooler and all of that?
I'm great, but I'll get better.
Yeah? You like the cooler weather?
No, I like the heat.
You like the heat?
I love the heat. I can't wait till I can get somewhere really, really warm in the middle of the winter when it's wet and dank around here.
Really? Really? Yeah, because most of us Northwesterners are used to kind of being damp and not the hot weather. And I know it took me quite a long time to adjust to that really hot weather. I didn't do so well until I realized, gosh, it was maybe 2 weeks ago or so when we had a heat wave again and it was up in the mid-80s or something. And I'm thinking, well, gee, it's really nice. And I looked at the temperature and it's like, whoa, I normally would be uncomfortable at this time. Yeah. But I realized I had kind of adjusted and was comfortable at a higher temperature. But you like hot all the time, huh?
Yeah, well, lately, I've been raised in the Northwest, so I'm pretty...
Well, I was just going to ask you if you grew up
here. I'm pretty rusty
here.
And creaky already, but no, as I get older, it gets warmer and warmer, and I get colder and colder, and so, yeah.
Okay, well, so you're good with the warm weather. Well, it looks like it's going to... We just went through the nicer weather the last couple of days. Now we've got the rain coming in for a while, and then who knows? Are we done with? What do you think, Mike? Are we done with summer? Any more 80-degree days, or are we really into fall now?
We're into fall.
Okay.
Starting essentially today, there's a real change.
Not officially because it's only the 13th of September.
But in terms of weather, we have shifted. The jet stream has gone to the north. And it's sucking down a lot of the cold Pacific air. So we're going to see more of this for a while. The 80-degree days are over.
Because apparently what was responsible for all of that was that high area
The jet stream, depending on how it takes shape, creates a natural high-pressure area. Most of the time, that high pressure is down in the desert southwest. But because of the way it was positioned this year, and it may continue... a lot of that weather in the southwest was brought up here either indirectly or directly through the jet stream or what's called weather troughs where the hot air is actually sucked up. And as a result, the Midwest, particularly the Great Lakes area in New England, they got our weather because of the jet stream. That's how influential it is on how weather patterns take shape and move around.
Well, that's it, and it stayed so hot here, and the temperature is so high for so long because that high just kind of stuck out there.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
But now it's like
it's repositioned
moved
to its
south.
It's repositioned to its normal pattern.
It's gone south.
Yeah. And there's a lot of cold air that sits off the eastern Pacific, either up in Alaska or more or less the Gulf of Alaska. And that is a lot of the colder, more inclement weather comes from there. But our prevailing winds come from the south. So there's another stream called the trade winds, which shoot through Hawaii, and that pushes a lot of moisture. So
isn't that what often is called the Pineapple Express?
The Pineapple Express. Yeah. So when you have all that moisture coming from the south, aided by the winds, the prevailing winds, and you have cold weather lows settling down, then you get a lot of moisture.
Yeah.
And it rains a lot. So let's hope we get a lot of those this year, this fall, because we need them. We really, really do need them.
So even though we won't be celebrating the fall equinox, until later in the month.
The 22nd.
It really is fall already, according to Mike, right?
Yeah. According to Mike, in two ways, from a weather perspective and also from Mike's state of mind.
This is
my favorite time of the year.
Oh, okay.
The throes of summer, those last nice days, the weather starts getting a little cooler, the leaves start to fall. I'm in heaven. It is my favorite time of the year.
Okay, so you're a fall guy.
Yeah, I'm a fall guy. Never used to be.
It sounds like,
but
Doug,
I am
you're
now.
A summer guy.
I'm a summer guy.
I guess I'm a spring gal.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that? Well, Kathy's the winter gal. So she's not here, she gets the last designation. Yep. You know, if you're not here on Animal World, then you get blamed for anything that goes. Yeah,
that's
I kind of dropped
works.
That, but you know, that's kind of, we'd have to pick that
you
up.
You got
to
revive
again.
It every once
yeah,
in a while.
Yeah, if you're not here, it's
a good
your
model.
Fault.
It's a good creed.
Okay, well, we've got all the bases covered. And speaking of that, it is Vet Sunday today. Like I said, Dr. Doug Yearout, our holistic alternative medicine vet, and popular last month when you were on Dr. Doug, got just lots of great, fabulous feedback. So I'm sure we've got folks that are going to want to talk to you and ask questions. And we will be opening the phone lines very soon. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you phone numbers now in case you want to call in and get ready to go. That will give Mike plenty of time to deal with phone calls while I take care of some other stuff here. So a local number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5569. Remember the 1-888-298-5569. And you can shoot us an email anytime during the show to our live email address. Pretty simple, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. So coming up today, I mean, we will start the show officially with St. Francis here very soon. Just have a little bit of follow-up and to do all of the good news and appropriate news about animals is up on Facebook, and I'll tell you about that. And we'll shoot for doing current events about 10:50 today. And we may or may not do a missing link giveaway. We'll see how the show's going and how the phones are doing and whether or not Mike's going to be able to do it or not. Otherwise, it'll wait until next week. So, gosh, I think that about covers all the general stuff. So why don't we get this show on the road? And we do that, or I do that officially every Sunday by honoring the saint that's been guiding my work with the animals for the last 25, 30 years or so. And that would be St. Francis, of course. And I've got a couple of St. Francis prayers because, after all, it is Sunday. So we cover the bases that way. A little short prayer for our animal friends, a little longer one for us humans. And here we go. This is the prayer to St. Francis for our animal friends. Good St. Francis, you loved all of God's creatures. To you, they were your brothers and sisters. Help us to follow your example of treating every little thing with kindness, every living thing with kindness. St. Francis, patron saint of animals, watch over our animal friends and keep our companions safe and healthy. And now for us humans, the St. Francis of Assisi Peace Prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope, and where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to consoled, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Om, peace, amen. All righty then, we are now official. And it reminded me, as I was doing the St. Francis prayers, now the time of year to pay attention because, the special day of the blessings of the animals comes up pretty soon. And a lot of churches, a lot of organizations around the areas have special Bless the Animals Day to celebrate St. Francis and so forth. And that usually happens towards the end of September, the first part of October. So keep your eyes and ears open because there'll probably be an opportunity for you to take your animals to be blessed somewhere, a special occasion coming up. And if I hear about any, or if anyone knows of any special celebrations that are going to go on, let me know and I'll get it on current events and let you know. Okay, let's see. Now, I guess in the first little... let me tell you what's on Facebook. And if you don't know, we're on Facebook these days. Look for Martha Norwalk's Animal World. And give us a like while you're there. That's kind of important, and we appreciate that. And it's worth checking in on the Animal World Facebook page often because I now have started posting all of the good news about animals and any other news that we need to know about or stuff you can do to help and just cute animal stuff. And... anything that I think is significant and important to share with you. And just to give you an idea, look, see this sheet of paper? This is all the things I listed in the last week on Facebook. So let's see, going from top to bottom here, so you have to scroll down to find all this stuff. Some good news about rhinos' recovery. A great drone photo. I put it up there as drones actually are good for something. And they used a drone to get photographs of the latest baby orca, Puget Sound orca. So it's a very good, it's an aerial photo from right above them that was taken by a drone. And some really heartwarming stories. There's a story about a bald circus bear that was rescued and then rehabbed and put into a forever sanctuary home. Really, really wonderful story. Oh, great video of a surfer and dolphin crash. And I don't know if you saw this one going around. I think they're in Hawaii. But the guy's, he's filming on a surfboard, and there's a big wave coming, and you can see the group of dolphins inside the wave. And then they're coming just bat out of you-know-wheres straight for the guy, and then one of them pops out. And then you can see in that dolphin like a OMG, seeing the surfer there, and you can see the dolphin try to turn to avoid him, but ends up body slamming this guy, and nobody was injured, but it's a pretty spectacular little video, but that's up there. Oh, there's another video where, and I don't remember who filmed this, but a mama rabbit who had left her nest, and I think with wild rabbits, they often leave their nest, don't they, Doug?
Yes, they do.
And during the day, and they try to have them well disguised, but they go off to eat and do whatever mama rabbits do. Well, this mama rabbit came back to a great big snake getting ready to eat her babies. And man, I mean, and this is a little wild rabbit like we have around here that they aren't very big.
No, they're not.
And this snake, I forget where it was, but the snake had to be... the snake was at least 5 feet long, if not more. And you see this mama rabbit just is like white on rice on this snake, jumping on him and biting and scratching him and throwing her. And man, she just beat this snake up and kept following him. And then the snake would start to crawl off and up away, and she'd haul him back down where she could jump on him and beat on him some more. I don't think the snake was really injured or anything, but boy, she convinced you, leave my babies alone and don't you ever come back.
Yeah, that's a universal thing is messing with mom, you know?
Yeah, but it was amazing how ferocious a little mama rabbit could
be. They can be very ferocious.
And that she just gave this snake you-know-what, and I don't think he'd be returning back there. But it's all on film, too. That's kind of the neat thing. And and a nice tribute to the last surviving Ground Zero dog, mm-hmm. you know, that was a rescue at 9/11.
16.
Yeah, Golden Retriever, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
So that whole thing is up on Facebook. Oh, and I don't know if it was Thailand or where it was, but another country where they sell animals at markets, or they're selling cats as pets and so forth, but they weren't doing so well. So one of the vendors dunked a cat in pink dye.
Mm-hmm.
But that caught the attention of animal rescuers that have come in, and man, it's just made a huge difference. They're even going to air condition the market, the animal area of the market, and all kinds of stuff. So a pink cat that's saving thousands of other animals because of what's come to light about that. So it appears to be, you know, a yucky story, but it actually, this cat is serving many.
Oh, yeah.
A cute little series of a bunch of cats trying to fit in boxes. You know, those cute little photos.
Yeah, my cat does that.
Yeah, they can't get a box that's... and I think the last... this teeny little box, cat's sitting there and has both front paws in the box, and that's all it will fit. But some really, really great photos.
I saw a picture of a baby cat that was trying to crawl inside of a baby shoe.
Oh, yeah.
And he had his front paws and just the first part of his little nose in there, but he was like an ostrich in the sand.
Yeah, the butt's hanging out, yeah.
His butt was hanging out, yeah. And he was totally in the box as far as he was concerned.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of those kind of things. It just is real fun. Now there's another... I put a petition up, which is very pertinent, and it's related to SeaWorld. And now, you know, SeaWorld has... their reputation is really tanked with all the, mm-hmm. you know, the blackfish and all of that. And they're really having to rethink what they're doing. But one of the things they were planning to do to counter all the negative publicity is to launch a whole bunch of gazillion-dollar construction and improvement, according to them, and making the place larger and that sort of thing. Well, so there's a move now to get the powers that be to not issue the permits, so to stop this new construction stuff, because that, of course, is not the goal. The goal is to stop using orcas and cetaceans for human entertainment, and these either need to be returned to the wild or housed in ocean pens and sea pens and just a better environment, as we realize. Oh, that we, it's not probably a wise idea. And a tribute to Wayne Dyer, who passed a week ago or so. Great spiritual teacher, and some of his movies are free at the moment, so I put that up. Another great story, 100 people trying to save a great white shark that had beached itself, and that was a really great story. Oh, one of my favorites, 33 circus lions rescued and then airlifted to a new home in Africa.
Nice.
Yeah, really great story. And then we've got the circus coming to town. It's coming to Everett and Kent here soon. And of course, Ringling Brothers has come out saying they are going to work towards eliminating elephants from their circuses, and they'll accomplish that by 2018. Well, you know, our friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants and the powers that be around here that care about animals are saying, yeah, that's a great idea. We're real glad that you're doing that. But, you know, 2018,
mm-hmm.
that's not soon enough. Let's get this done faster, because we know they have their 200-acre facility down in Florida that they use as a retirement home and sanctuary and so forth. They can set it up pretty easily. And so there are posts about there are going to be some peaceful demonstrations in Everett and Kent, I think, related to the circuses. So if you are inclined to want to participate in those, that information is up on Facebook. And, oh, the best reason, I think, that we don't need to be using plastic straws. Great. It's a story about, you know, a big ocean turtle. And that had been rescued, and there was something in its nose, and they thought it was a parasite. And you get to see the whole thing on film. And they ended up pulling out a plastic straw out of the respiratory tract of this turtle, and it is quite dramatic and emotional to watch, but also a really good message, you know, on what happens to all this plastic that we don't need to be using.
There's an awful lot of it out there.
Yeah, and a bunch more. And well, and I covered a story. Some kid developed some way to get the plastic out of the ocean and then deal with it. And so then they're set up and it's working already. But you know, leave it to the younger generation to come up with ideas to clean up, you know, our mess.
Yeah, every time I look inside of a seabird, they're always loaded with something.
Inside of a seabird?
Seabirds, yeah. Yeah.
Well, because you treat pretty much anything in it.
Yeah, wildlife at the beach and stuff too, yeah.
And I rescued a seagull once from the ocean, actually down at Cannon Beach. That's a story. And, you know, me and my rescue, actually my dog found it in the ocean, and when we found it, it couldn't fly, and so I talked to the seagull and picked it up and took it back to our hotel room, put it in the shower.
Yeah, same as me.
And so my mom spent the rest of the day trying to find a rescue or whatever, or somebody to help the seagull. Well, there wasn't anybody down anywhere that was willing to deal with the seagull, and of course this was back, this must have been back in maybe the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there wasn't lots of rehab and rescues for wildlife and so forth all over the place. Up in our area, they had already decided that veterinarians had said that they would treat birds, you know, for free. You know, if something happened, to bring them in. And I knew that. So I and all of my animal love and devotion with this seagull in our shower at down at Cannon Beach says, I'm not going home without the seagull. So finally,
and your mom knew who you were going to become, right?
Yep. And I'm not leaving without the seagull. And my parents knew when I took a stance, just don't argue with it. So we found a box, hold the seagull, and the seagull came home with us. And then once we got up here, I took it to our veterinarian, who was great. And they said that they took the seagull in and they kept it for a day or so and determined that they thought it was okay. We needed some antibiotics and stuff, and they thought it would be fine. So we went back and picked up the seagull, and it came home. And we lived on the top of the hill in Laurelhurst and had a balcony outside of my bedroom. So the seagull lived on my balcony. I think I must have fed it canned cat food or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I fed it.
Yeah, they love it.
Yeah. And so I fed the seagull and nursed it back to life. And then eventually one day it was strong enough and jumped up on the ledge and flew off, and off it went. So
it became a northern seagull.
You got a transplant from Oregon to Seattle, Washington. So that's my seagull story. But so you've seen seabirds, and when you say get into them, that means have you done surgery or done autopsies?
I'm just sort of an interested guy that walks along the beach. Sometimes I go, oh, I wonder what killed that seagull, or I wonder what killed that grebe, and I'll go, you know,
you'll do your own little postmortem.
Yeah, and just to see what's going on. So.
My goodness, I just get carried away. I just looked at the clock, and of course, I've run over again. So let's take care of advertisers and sponsors for the first time in this hour, and then we will come back. And we do have a phone call, so we'll time out on the Facebook stuff, and the little bit of follow-up that I have, we'll take a phone call and get started with Vet Sunday. So if you'd also like to get in line, you certainly are welcome to call at this point, and we would love to hear from you. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural food, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. So that's why Designing Health created Missing Link. They start with human-grade, all-natural, whole, raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. Comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. Keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in the Missing Link, a little cool water to stir it in, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes and the raw ingredients and the fiber. Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there are a bunch of formulas to suit your animal friends. There's a cat formula. There's three dog formulas, one for hip and joint, one for skin and coat, a new one for senior dogs that has New Zealand green mussel in it. There is a wellness blend, which is a vegetarian formula, and you can feed that to both your dogs and cats and other house critters as well. There is a bird formula, a new chicken formula, and a horse formula. So ask for Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or go to Dr. Doug. He's got it on his shelf and at the All Animals Alternative Medicine Clinic up in Marysville. And otherwise, you can go straight to Designing Health. Give them a call at 1-800-774-7387 or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's ANANDA Washington.org.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Accutonics for Dogs and Cats and Accutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Accutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Alternative Talk 1150 is now being broadcast in digital quality on FM 98.9 HD3. So rejoice, you early adopters of technology.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're just getting rolling on this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You heard about, of course, Designing Health and the great Missing Link supplements, and then Whispering Dragon in Seattle. one of my favorite places to go. And Dr. Doug is the official Whispering Dragon veterinarian, by the way. Jude and Paul Ponton, who are our great harmonic energy shifters, they'll be in next month, will be their month for doing the show. But gosh, I was down on Friday for, I call it a gong session. And man, it is really something. And you just feel so great once they work on you. And they've straightened out all kinds of stuff for me that just has never worked. So I hope you'll check them out at whispering-dragon.com. You can see them in person, and they work remotely. You also heard about the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, and that would be my spiritual family, of course. And I just want to invite you, on behalf of Ananda, to a wonderful fall event, and that would be celebrating the divine in all fall equinox service, which will be at the Ananda Temple in Bothell. It's just on the Bothell Everett Highway. It's on Saturday, September 19th at 7:30 in the evening, and it's free, and all are welcome. You don't need to make reservations or anything. Just show up, and it's always a wonderful celebration of the fall equinox, and then usually some snacks, sweets and savories afterwards, and a great get-together. So hope you will join us at the Celebrating the Divine in All Fall Equinox service Saturday, September 19th, 7:30 in Bothell. Check them out. If you need more information, anandawashington.org or 425-806-3700. All righty then. It is Vet Sunday. Dr. Doug Yearout's in the house, and phone lines are now open. We're going to go to the phones, and if you are interested in talking to Doug and want to get in right away, then pick up your phone, local number 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, and toll-free is 888-298-5569. Remember the 1-888-298-5569, and you can shoot us an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All right. No, without further ado, let's go to the phones, and we're going to head out to my neighborhood out in Salton, and Cindy's on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Welcome to Animal World.
Hello.
Hey, Cindy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm going to be getting 2 kittens this week.
Ah.
And they've had their first shots at about 8 weeks.
So how old are they now?
Oh, probably about 9.5 weeks, maybe, plus or minus.
And they're coming from, I know, because we've talked about this a little bit, they're coming from a rescue?
Yeah.
And so they had, you said they had their first vaccines at about 8 weeks?
Yeah.
And I think you're getting male littermates, right?
Yeah.
Also, probably already neutered, huh?
Yeah, they've been neutered.
Okay, so what's your question for Dr. Doug?
So when do they need a second shot, and what I want to get as little as humanly possible for their second shot so I have control of that?
Yeah, well, this is a good idea. Let's get Dr. Doug's philosophy here on all of this.
Well, here's my uncorporate plan here.
Yeah, okay.
So it depends when you take your kittens home, of course. They've already had their first vaccines at 8 weeks, which is about right. Eight to 10 weeks is usually when people usually give the first vaccine. And I will repeat that one time after they're 12 weeks old, and that'll be it for the rest of their life.
Okay, so if her kittens, she's going to get them next week, though. They'll have had one vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be about 9.5 weeks old. She can wait then until they're 12 weeks or older?
Yeah, she should wait till after they're 12 weeks and they've gotten established in the home and everybody's happy and kind of fit in, and then somewhere in there get the one more vaccine of upper respiratory and distemper
viruses. That's what I was going to ask you, what do you vaccinate for?
It's called FERCP, but those letters stand for feline herpes and distemper, upper respiratory disease complex. That's your sort of standard kitty vaccine.
And you're okay with that?
I'm okay with that, yeah. Okay. If they're going to be in the house forever and they're never going to go back outside.
No, these will be indoor-outdoor models.
Yeah, then if they're always in the house forever and ever, I skip everything, really. I don't think they need it. They don't get the exposure. But if they're going to be out there contacting other kitties, it's probably wise to get one more vaccine then.
Okay, now I'm going to run this past you, because what I always say is that's what I hear, that if you vaccinate, you know, if they're outdoor cats, then, yeah, they're going to be exposed. You need to vaccinate. The indoor cats, you don't need to vaccinate. But in my mind, I'm thinking, well, when they're outside in and out, they get exposed to stuff, which increases their immunity.
Correct.
If they're inside only, they don't get exposed, so they don't get natural immunity. So aren't indoor-only cats actually more vulnerable?
Technically, yes, but if they've already had one baby shot, they've been exposed to some stuff, and the body remembers.
Okay, so we're assuming then these indoor kitties have been vaccinated.
The body remembers that forever, but you're right. If you live like the little boy in the bubble forever, you're not going to get exposed to a whole lot of stuff. You could be, when something comes along, susceptible to it. So
yeah. But so, actually, because I remember it reminds me of a dog, a fairly famous dog trainer and author and stuff, who very early on got into all-natural, holistic mm-hmm. sort of stuff. And she has lots of dogs and travels to do seminars and training, all that kind of stuff. I think she lives in the Midwest somewhere. And she, quite some time ago, number of years ago, went to no vaccines mm-hmm. at all.
Right.
And then she did regular titering of mm-hmm. her dogs. And she discovered some real interesting stuff in that her primary working times was, summer into fall, and then off for the winter, and then we start up again in the late spring into summer sort of thing. And so in the winter months, she's usually staying home, and therefore all of her dogs would stay home. So she would see after the summer, through the winter, their titers go down.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently go down,
yeah,
down, 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 down. Then as soon as spring came along, she started traveling. We get out again. The titers went up, 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 up,
yeah.
and stayed up all through the summer, and then would start to go down again when she stopped traveling. But just, a classic example of what happened, with the exposure keeps them
right. Yeah, and
immune.
That's
if they have good immune systems.
Yeah, and we never talk about the immune memory response either, because your titer goes down normally when you're not exposed to stuff, but it's sitting there waiting. Somebody comes through the door, it's like, oh, I got to get, busy here, and then that comes up, it comes right back up again. That's what you're seeing in the spring, is another exposure to something, and it comes back up. But the memory response is on and tuned and ready to go for a normal animal its whole life. That memory response is what brings the antibody up for everything.
All right.
We don't usually have circulating antibody running around all the time waiting to go.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And we can come back and talk more about titers. But I want to get back to Cindy. So you understand you won't have to do anything vaccine-wise with these kittens because they'll already have had an FERCP, that you will repeat that again when they're 12 weeks or older, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you any other questions for Dr. Doug?
No, that was it.
Well, I want to ask another question just because it is another subject that I kind of wanted to address, and that is shelters and rescues and so forth wanting to spay and neuter so young these days.
Everybody,
now,
yeah.
I understand why, because of the horrendous overpopulation we have with our animal friends, and they're trying to prevent that. But we're beginning to learn, aren't we, that spaying and neutering at really young ages is not such a wise idea.
Yeah, it doesn't
for the animals.
It doesn't seem to be as disastrous to cats as it is to dogs.
That's what I wanted to find
on
out.
On another level, it still is, and we're all supposed to have those hormones for a while. It's not normal to take them out when they're so young, but you're right. There's such an overpopulation problem. When they leave shelters, they're not going to give anybody a chance to make a mistake. So that's a done deal. But I see all kinds of problems. The kittens, they stay very kitten-like for their whole life. They put on a lot more fat. Their urinary openings end up becoming smaller over time. They don't develop, and that could be a problem with plugging male cats later, and all kinds of stuff happens. So, but it is what it is. The risk of having unwanted new kittens is more than the risk to the shelter of those cats developing physical health problems later on. So that's how it's figured out, is which is the higher risk.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but and spraying and neutering at younger ages sounds like more detrimental to dogs than to cats.
Very, very detrimental to dogs.
Okay, and we'll come back to that. Now, Cindy, I also want to know, in Cindy's situation, that I believe these kittens are, you know, coming on as career mousers.
Yeah.
You know, because she's out in the country and all that kind of stuff. And at the age she gets them, and because of one vaccine, but we're going to wait till after 12 weeks, how important is it, should she be keeping them inside until that after that last vaccine, or can they be getting exposure outside? Do you have any recommendations about that?
Well, about 2 weeks, you should keep them protected as much as you can from any kind of exposure.
From when she gets them.
Yeah.
So the first couple weeks, be real protective and keep them in, and then you can start introducing them outside.
Yeah.
And even though they haven't had the last vaccine yet.
Right. Well, you're not going to just leave them out there and let them go either.
Right.
You know, you're going to, if you see a bunch of stuff that's going to expose them, then I would say a little bit longer, but at least a good couple of weeks. And we didn't talk about the other viruses either, feline leukemia and feline AIDS and FIP and all these other viruses that can come along that come along a lot of times from the wild, you know, barn cats and fights, mm-hmm. and lots of things about fights.
Yeah.
And that's how those viruses get into the body. And you can vaccinate for some of those things. I don't usually recommend it. I think the risk of the vaccine is actually worse than the risk of going to get sick with whatever it is that's going to come along.
Yeah, that's what I've... So my cats are not vaccinated for any of those things.
But it is available.
Okay.
You can do everything these days.
So do you sometimes give those vaccines?
No, I never do.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Now, Cindy, does that stimulate any more questions for you, or...
No, I'm good to go.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought of another question, though, because you've got an interesting philosophy of how you want to feed these cats.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I would like you to run your idea past Dr. Doug to see what he thinks about it, okay?
Okay. I'm hoping to raise mice in cages and let them go in a confined area and have the kittens, or there'd be cats probably by that time, but the mice get bigger, but have them eat the mice and live off that.
Okay.
But and you're, the idea in doing that is not just because she wants to raise mice and have that, but she wants them their diet to be primarily the mice they catch on the, you know, apparently she needs a lot of mouse patrol. And so does that seem like a reasonable thing?
Well, mouse food is definitely a good diet for a cat, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You're not worried about them getting released and having bigger problems?
You mean the mice getting
the mice,
away?
Yeah, the mice getting away. Confined. What's confined to a mouse? It seems like you might be opening up a can of worms, maybe, but if they're there to...
No, I got like a 6x8 cabin with no mouse holes in it.
Oh.
So they'll put them in there. So.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's a good thing for them to learn. You know, that's certainly like a trial by error, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I wish somebody would come up with a mouse food and put it in a can or in a frozen block myself. But
I used to joke about the best. I'd like to see somebody come out with mice and rice or rats and rice, and you know, because that really whole rodent diet is supposed to be an excellent diet. I remember in one of my favorite books, Farley Mowat's Never Cry Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he went out to the wilderness, he actually ate. He ate whole mice and survived on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine that he did it, but he did.
He did.
Yeah. But it's really a good diet.
It's not a bad diet.
Just
cook it.
Yeah. Oh, it gives me the creeps just thinking about it. But he did it. So if you want a great adventure, Farley Mowat.
They have Bush Baby in a can. That's pretty close.
What, the brush tail, the addiction?
Yeah,
out of Australia.
Yeah.
Or New Zealand. Yeah. Okay, well, Cindy, you're good?
Yep. I thank you all for the help.
All righty. Well, you'll have to keep us posted on how the kitties do on their mice career. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I will. I'll let you know.
Yeah, so I didn't mention rabies. Of course, rabies is a public health rule. It's a 3-year vaccine. It's universal in every state. we don't have rabies very much here. We have some rabies, but we're pretty blessed with not having a whole lot. So if your kitties are just around your own little area there, that's probably not something that you need to worry about too much of having them ever get exposed to rabies. But it still is a public health rule and a law in some places that we're supposed to do.
So if they were going to have rabies, and of course the rabies challenge study is still being done as to find out how long these vaccines really last, but when would you recommend they get a rabies vaccine?
Sometime after they're 6 months old, get their rabies vaccine, and then it's supposed to be done every 3 years. But it'll actually last the cat over 10 years. It's a pretty good, that rabies challenge was a good thing to do to find out how long they really do last. Three is totally an arbitrary number. It's not based on science at all.
All right. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, Cindy, thanks for calling Animal World.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. We're going to take care of advertisers and sponsors before we run out of time in this hour, and then we'll be back with Vet Sunday and Dr. Doug. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Did you know that there's a gentle energy balancing method for restoring health, mobility, and athletic performance for your dog, cat, or horse? Bioenergetic synchronization, as used by Nels Rasmussen, creates transformations in health, mobility, and performance. To learn more, you can visit online, NelsHealingMinistry.com, or call 425-238-2668. That's 425-238-2668. Attention pet lovers. We all want the best for our pets, and that includes quality of life, longevity, and overall well-being. Raymakers Nutrition has developed a line of patented products that have been shown to dramatically improve immune function, improve response to vaccines by over 400%, and help strengthen the systems in the body that fight cancer cells. Introducing Veterinary Immune Tabs. These chewable tabs are safe for dogs and cats. Find out more about how Veterinary Immune Tabs can improve your pet's longevity and state of wellness. Contact Dr. Bill Burlingame at BillBurlingameDVM@gmail.com or call 425-903-1913.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Clear, clean, and crisp. Check us out in digital quality sound on FM 98.9 HD3. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk. We're winding down the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And you heard about Dr. Nels Rasmussen. Nels Healing Ministry. He is our bioenergetic synchronization technique practitioner, working miracles with behavior and physical problems with our animal friends. You got to check out his website, www.nelshealingministry.com. Click on the testimonials and watch the videos. He's got a number of cases of and video clips of dachshunds, corgis paralyzed from the waist down, no drugs, no surgery, 4 to 6 treatments later, they're walking again. He's really doing some remarkable stuff. So check him out. You can also fill out new patient intake form, and he'll do a free telephone evaluation with you about how he can help with your animal friends. So it's NellsHealingMinistry.com, or you can give him a call at 425-238-2668. Also, Dr. Bill Burlingame and Burlingame Veterinary Consulting. He is available now for telephone consultations, only $60. That's really reasonable. And you can get the best immune support for your animal friends direct from Dr. Bill, so you don't have to pay the markups. And that would be the immune tabs, the immune chews, and the transfer factors for humans and for our animal friends. So give Dr. Bill a call at 425-903-1913. That's 425-903-1913. Or shoot him an email, BillBurlingameDVM@gmail.com. All righty then, we'll go back to the phones and at least get started with this call. We may have to hold her over, but let's see what's going on. We're going down to Bend, Oregon, Dr. Doug, and Christine is on the line. Good morning, Christine. Welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Doug.
Good morning, y'all.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. I'm calling about one of the rescue donkeys. Well, actually, there's only 2 left now at Equine Outreach.
Okay, so let's tell Dr. Doug, you volunteer at an equine rescue sanctuary sort of place, right?
Yes.
And that's Equine Outreach, did you say?
Yeah, it's Equine Outreach Horse Rescue.
Louise and
Larry.
Larry and Louise are the donkeys, right?
Yeah.
Because you emailed us a photograph. I'm going to show that to so you're calling about one of them?
Yeah, Louise. Louise has Cushing's, and it used to be really, really bad.
Okay, because I need to be caught up here, Christine.
Okay. Cushing's is...
No. We're rewinding. Did you say there's only one of these guys left?
No, there's only 2. Larry and Louise are the only 2 out of the 7 they used to have.
Oh, okay. I thought that Larry and Louise had been split up for a second there. No.
Oh, no, no, no.
Okay.
That will not do.
Okay. Oh, we'll have to see if Dr. Doug has any tricks for getting a halter on a donkey, too.
I'm able to put a halter on him. I take him for walks.
Hey, how did you do that? What worked?
I don't know. It just happened. Other people.
I wonder if all the work that Jude and Paul have done energetically, and Dr. Nels have done energetically, and then all of that
communication. Yeah, and I think there's a lot of changing in the energy around the ranch too.
Excellent.
So.
All right.
Anyway,
so we're back to now. Louise has Cushing's.
Yes.
Okay. And we probably need to find out from Dr. Doug what that actually is. Let's actually just find out what your questions are, because then I think we're going to have to hold you over the top of the hour.
Okay.
But so tell us, what's going on with Louise and Cushing's?
Well, I've noticed that the Cushing's is lessening. I mean, she's getting real smooth hair on her neck instead of the dry hanging hair.
Yeah.
Like she still has in the back of her legs. My suspicion, I would like to believe, that my taking her out on regular walks and letting her eat what I consider the natural forage for a donkey, which is desert plants, because we are in the desert, along the BLM trails, that I think that's restoring her her health.
Huh.
Because Cushing's is caused by bad eating, you know, where people feed them horse food, you know, rich hay, rich grains, things like that, which their system can't take.
Huh. Well, that'll be interesting to find out what Dr. Doug has to say about all that. Before we get in, we don't have enough time before we have to break and take the top of the hour. So, I'm curious though, because you said after all we are in the desert. And I'm thinking, Bend, yeah. Oregon, I don't think of the desert in Oregon. I mean, you actually have deserts in Oregon?
Well, it's central, yeah.
Huh.
You go not even a fingertip below the dirt, and you're hitting volcanic rock.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got volcanic rock everywhere.
I'm not a geologist, I guess, so I never really thought about it. But so there's actually... desert area. And Bend, and where's Bend, Oregon related to like Portland?
Like 4 hours away.
Like 4 hours south?
North.
Oh, north. Northeast, huh?
Yeah, we're in the central area.
Yeah, southeast of Portland.
Southeast of Portland.
Beautiful view of the Cascades.
Wow.
Farms and ranches.
Ooh, sounds lovely. And that's out where...
Urban.
Okay, so we are Christine, we're going to close out hour number one.
Okay.
We'll fire up hour number two, and then we'll bring you right back up. And first of all, when we get back, I want Doug to make sure that we all understand what is Cushing's.
Yeah.
And then we'll go into your question about the diet and all of that sort of stuff. And then after that, I know horses are not the only ones that get Cushing's. So then we can find out how that information, does that apply to dogs and do cats get it and all that kind
of
stuff. So, we'll get everybody educated on Cushing's and all different animal suits. So everybody stay right where you are. Animal World continues. It's Vet Sunday with Dr. Doug Yearout straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.